Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening. It's 7 p.m. Sunday evening here in the USA, and you can find us here on New Visions Radio every Sunday. It's May the 14th, 2023.
Right, and let me just clarify, it's 7 p.m.
Eastern time. Wow, why do I forget that every week, Ed? It does make a difference because we're on the East Coast in the United States. And I know that this program started being broadcast in California. So that's why we kind of hit the Eastern time too. Yeah. And now since it's on the internet, people get it all over the world and from New Visions Radio.
Right.
And it's good to thank Ray Powers for keeping us on the air here week after week. If we can't do a program, he actually makes sure that it gets put on the air and maybe runs a one from the past. Every once in a while, I'll send him a sermon, and he'll put that on the air for us. Yeah. But, you know, we've been really consistent lately. We've gotten back on the air as we should be. And, you know, God is good.
Yes.
And he's put us together with Ray Powers so that we could be able to do these things.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
So, anyway, just a little bit about Prophecies of Hope. I just want to say that you know, we are a small ministry, and Ed can fill us in a little bit about what we do as a ministry.
Right. Well, our mission really is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as we study God's word, we discover that really the gospel of Jesus Christ is found throughout the Bible.
It is. From Genesis to Revelation, right?
And so our little ministry here in Virginia, we have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings that anyone can join through Zoom. We have a Bible study on Saturday mornings on the Sabbath, a biblical Sabbath, and we have our worship service on the Sabbath as well.
Yes, and the Zoom, we stream it also, prophecyhope.com, right? Mm-hmm. And the Zoom Sabbath school begins at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time,
right?
And then the worship service begins at 11.
Right.
Eastern time, 11 a.m.
Right. We stream the services on Sabbath, as well as there is a Zoom link for the Bible study on Sabbath morning at 9:30.
That's it. And also, if you'd like a Zoom, if you'd like to study with us, you can send me an email, mark@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can send me an email at ed@prophecyhope.com.
There you go. And if you don't remember our names, a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. And we do, you know, while I can say, you know, sometimes I get a lot of emails. So due to the volume of emails, I do try to check them daily, but I can't reply daily. So usually on the weekends, I sit down and I go through those. Sometimes in the middle of the week, I'll get a chance. So I want to apologize if there's a little delay. Also, if you have a Bible question, you're welcome to send that in.
Yeah.
And we will try to either reply by email, or we may even ask the question on the air and answer it.
Right.
But we won't give your name. We don't want you to feel embarrassed or feel like, well, that was a silly question. There is no silly question, is there? Especially when we're learning about God and the Bible. There's no such thing as a stupid or silly question.
Well, I heard somebody say once, there is a stupid question.
What's that?
Or something about if you don't ask a question.
Oh, it's the one you don't ask.
Yeah, the one you don't ask.
Yeah, the only silly or stupid question is the one you don't ask. Because, you know, we're still learning. We will be learning, I believe, about God and His Son for eternity.
Yeah.
It's just like any relationship. You know, when you... I've been married for a long time, and being married for a long time, you still learn things about your marriage mate. I'm still learning about my wife. And so can you imagine an infinite God? How can you know everything about Him?
Right.
It's impossible. So we just continue to learn. It's an everlasting journey. But so that's a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, about this ministry. Is there anything else, Ed? Is there anything that I forgot?
Nothing I can think of.
Okay, so why don't you have an opening prayer for us, and then we'll jump right in where we left off last week.
Okay, good. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again grateful for this Bible that you've given us, your word that gives us information about who you are, the plan that you have for our lives, and the hope that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we study these words written on the page, may you give us wisdom and knowledge to understand, to be able to apply these things to our life, and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So at last week, we had read in the book of Acts, and we kind of touched in Romans a little bit.
Right.
So what did you want to do this week?
Let's read the last two verses in the book of Acts.
All right.
Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. Let me read those for you. And Paul remained 2 years in his own hired house. Remember, Paul was taken to Rome as a prisoner to be tried by Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 30, continuing, and he welcomed all who came in to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all freedom and without hindrance. For 2 years he was able to do this freely.
Yes. And so once we read this, you know, here's what it says in the New King James in Acts chapter. This is the last chapter of Acts. It's Acts 28, verse 31. Speaking of Paul, well, I'll just start in 30.
Okay.
It says, then Paul dwelt 2 whole years, just like you just said, in his own rented house and received all who came to him. Now, you notice it's interesting to me. It says in his own rented house.
Yeah.
Because Paul supported himself, didn't
yes.
he? He didn't depend on people to support him.
Correct.
He was a tent maker.
Yes. He worked as he traveled.
And I think this is really important. And it shows that, look at the ministry that Paul had.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that we can work a secular job. Ed, you do.
Yeah.
I did for many years. And we did and do ministry.
Right.
As we do those jobs. The ministry doesn't support us. We support the ministry.
Right.
Right? And then verse 31, it says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him.
So what does he mean by proclaiming the kingdom of God?
Oh, the kingdom of God. You know, we've touched on this. The kingdom of God, Jesus talks about.
Yes.
If we go back just for a moment before I think we're going to jump into Romans,
yes.
right? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. And, you know, the Sermon on the Mount is probably, if you were to read the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to urge all who are tuned in to do that. It starts in Matthew chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You can read this, even if you take your time, you can read this in about 15 minutes pretty easily. So this sermon was very short, what's recorded for us.
Right.
But it's so powerful. Jesus is probably one of the most powerful, most concise, one of the best sermons ever given on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about that. And these are the words of Jesus. So when I go to chapter 6, this is something that I think every Christian is familiar with, and that's the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
He was teaching us how to preach, how to pray, rather. And your question was, what about this kingdom of God?
Yeah, what is it about?
Well, notice what Jesus says here. He's talking about praying, and he says in verse 9, and I'm reading this from the New King James. Most people are probably used to hearing it from the King James.
Mm-hmm.
So in verse 9 of chapter 6 of Matthew, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I just want to stop there because obviously, this kingdom was important to Jesus. He's praying for it to come to the earth
mm-hmm.
as it is in heaven. That's what he's praying for. So I think what we had talked about last week was in this world that we live in and how bad things are today, we can get a taste of this kingdom now.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's why Jesus came.
That's why he came. So that we can have a taste of that now, but also for eternity, a literal kingdom.
Right.
So, you know, when I think about this, I don't think that we think of that as Christians a lot of times. We just kind of look at, well, when Jesus comes back, you know, we get this great reward. Well, you can experience that reward now. You can have Christ in your heart, and it changes us. It helps us to overcome. Ed, you read a number of texts last week on the program that showed us that in Romans chapter 5 and in Ephesians. You shared that with us.
Yes.
Did you have a thought?
I'm thinking along several different lines here, but why do we need the kingdom of God? We need to understand how this all started, where that need start. And it happened because of sin in the world, on right. this earth. That has separated us from God.
That's exactly right. It started in the Garden of Eden, didn't yeah. it? Where man had a choice to make. God had given him all this beautiful park. And he said, you can eat of everything that's here, but there's one tree that I want you to stay away from. So he gives us a choice. Yes. You can choose God's kingdom.
Right.
But you can choose not to take it as well.
And, you know, Christ came to give us access to that kingdom.
Amen. And that's what's beautiful about this. In fact, look at what he says, and I'm just going to finish this prayer out because I'm going to read it again. In this manner, therefore, pray. This is Matthew 6:9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that could be speaking of literal bread,
mm-hmm.
but who is the bread of life?
Christ is.
Jesus is. And then he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Has Christ come to pay the price for sin and help us to be able to forgive us and yes. to help us to be able to forgive others? And then in verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then he says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So he's talking about God's kingdom.
Yes.
And Jesus is telling them to pray for this, not only that it will come in a literal sense, but Jesus shows us that we can have a taste of that kingdom today.
Right. That's part of the gospel.
That is what it is.
You have to understand that this world that we live in, all the evil that's in it, all the war, violence, mm-hmm. hate, I mean, it's a tremendous amount that's happening today.
It's worse every day.
This is not God's design for this earth, for this world.
That's right.
And so he has created a plan of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, that one day sin is going to be done away with. And we will have a new heavens and a new earth where God
in which reigns. Righteousness dwells.
Yes.
Right? That's yeah. the biblical way of putting
There'll
it.
There'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more hate, no more violence. Mm. It's hard to imagine because this world that we live in is nowhere close to that.
You know, and just think about that. I mean, if we live according to what the Bible tells us, if we truly love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, mm-hmm. and we love our neighbor as ourself, then I'm not going to hurt my neighbor.
Right. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, those are the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave, which summed up the Ten Commandments right. in the Old Testament.
Right.
So that's God's kingdom. That's what it's all about.
Right.
It's about loving others. And if we do that, think about it. If I love my neighbor as myself, then there's not going to be any war.
That's right.
Right? And I'm not going to steal from him. And I'm not going to do things that would put him off and cause him to do bad things.
You know, I think some of the issues with the day is we tend not to put other people first. We put ourselves first. Mm. What we want is more important than what someone else may need.
Yeah, I think we're all guilty of that.
Yeah.
And this is where Jesus really showed us and gave us the example because he did nothing of himself, but
You're
only
right.
what the Father wanted him yeah. to do.
Yeah.
What a lesson.
Jesus, the very Son of God, came down to become a servant
mm.
and to serve others, to serve you and me.
To serve us.
Yeah.
The one through whom everything was made uh-huh. came here to serve us.
Yes.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? That's hard to imagine.
You know, it reminds me of that account in Romans, not Romans, but John 13, the Last Supper.
Oh, yeah.
Where back in the day of Christ, you know, people wore sandals. They walked pretty much most places.
Mm-hmm.
It was desert area, you know, and their feet got pretty dirty.
Right.
It was the role of the servant of the house to wash the guests' feet.
Yes, it was.
When they came.
It was.
And here, the Last Supper, you know, the disciples and Christ were partaking in the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Jesus who washed his disciples' feet.
And, you know, the thing is, I come from a background where they say, well, that was just an act of humility, and it's just telling us to be humble. But he told us we should do this to one another.
One another, yeah.
Right?
I think not only the actual service, but actual in that same thought, that same spirit as well, is to serve others.
Amen. You know? And this is so important because Jesus set the perfect example for us and how we're to interact with other people. And there were so many lessons that he teaches us. And he talks about those things in this very Sermon on the Mount where we were.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about many of these things. And if we just followed those things that are there in the Sermon on the Mount, think about how much better this world would be, because it's an expression of God's kingdom.
Right. You know what? I think a lot of people, when they read these things and hear these things, they can see the value in them.
Sure.
But then a day or two from now, we tend to forget about what we've read or what we heard.
Well, it's so easy to forget because we're bombarded with things in this world, you know.
So this is why it's important to maintain that relationship with God and His Son. Maintain time in the Bible.
Every day.
Yes, every day. Maintain time in trying to help others, you know, whether financially, you know, physically doing something for someone else, listening to people, you know, whatever it is.
And sometimes it could be something as little as, like you said, listening.
Yeah.
Sometimes just letting somebody vent a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe they're having a bad day. And just, well, tell me about your day. And it might be hard to listen to, right? But that makes them feel better. It relieves the pressure. And then you might be able to share a Bible text with them.
Right. You know, it's interesting you say that, because just yesterday, a lady came up to me and just started saying, this is a terrible day. I've been bounced all over the place. You know, just out of the blue. I was just standing there. I didn't wasn't even talking to her. But yeah, just listening.
That's right. Mm. So, it's interesting to me how just listening to somebody can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
And it helps them to deal with things. I mean, we do that here,
right.
You and I.
Yeah.
We share, you know, boy, I was really frustrated with this. And then after I talk about it, I feel so much better.
Right. Yeah.
So where are we going? We've talked about this kingdom a little bit. You took us last week. We went to Romans 5. We went to Ephesians 2. We just looked at the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
Which talks about the kingdom of God.
You know, I think since we've spent so much time in Acts looking at Paul's missionary journey and all the things that happened to him, I think it would be good to actually listen to his preaching.
Okay.
Here he is at the end of Acts. He's in Rome waiting to go on trial. I think it would be good to go to the book of Romans.
Okay.
To see what he's preaching, what the gospel is about, what the kingdom of God is all about.
All right.
Just by simply reading through the book of Romans.
Okay. So are we going to start in chapter 1?
Yes, let's do that. Maybe let's start with verses 1 through 5. 1 through 7.
Okay. Are you reading or am I reading?
Why don't you read?
Okay. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow, there's a lot here in just these few verses.
Okay.
When I look at verse 3, it talks about his Son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh.
Mm.
What's that talking about?
Well, you know, this actually takes us all the way back to Genesis, really, because there's a seed mentioned.
Okay.
In Genesis 3:15, and right after Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit that they were not supposed to eat from the tree they weren't supposed to eat, God promised that there would be a seed that would come. And that seed, if there's so much to this.
Yes, there is.
If we look in the Bible and we'll see the lineage of Jesus Christ. I think we find that in the book of Luke, for mm-hmm. sure. And I think also in, is it Matthew?
Matthew.
Yes. Okay. And and it shows us, it talks about David. He's in that line. So when this talks about according, it says, what did it say again? Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. This is talking about King David.
Yes.
The king in the Old Testament.
Right.
So he comes from the lineage of David.
Yeah. Can we look at that a little closer?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's go to Luke chapter 1.
Okay. Luke chapter 1. This is where the lineage of Jesus is talked about, isn't it?
And I want to read verses 26 through 31 at least. We can go farther if we need to. It starts out in Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Do you see that word David in there?
I do, yes.
All right. And an angel came to her and said, "Hail, one receiving grace. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David.
Wow.
And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there shall be no end." So here we have Mary,
mm-hmm.
who would conceive in her womb
yes.
the Son of Man
yeah.
named Jesus.
That's right. You know, these words are very important.
Yeah.
First of all, this name Jesus, it can mean Yahweh or Jehovah mm-hmm. saves.
Jehovah
saves or Yahweh saves.
Through his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
So this is really a beautiful thing. The other thing is the word that you use there, and my translation uses the same word, conceived.
Yes.
Because there's a common misconception among some Christians that God took Jesus' life and put it into Mary, and she was just an incubator. But that's a false doctrine.
Right.
That's not true whatsoever. She conceived.
Yes.
Jesus was as much part of Mary. That's her son.
Yes.
So when he became the Son of Man, he actually took on Mary's nature.
Yeah.
Right? And Mary was just like you and me. She wasn't a perfect human. There's another false doctrine that comes where people think that Mary was perfect and could conceive this child that had no sin.
Right. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right. And that includes Mary.
Yes.
So there's only one who hasn't sinned, and that's Mary's son, Jesus.
Let me go back to Romans 1:3. It talks about Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Jesus became a human being.
He did. The Word became flesh.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
And dwelt among us.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, in other words, Jesus took on our nature.
Right.
Just like we are. He was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin.
Yes.
And so just think of what this means for you and me and everyone on earth.
What, don't you think this is why Jesus is the mediator between God and man?
Yes.
He 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus."
That's right. And so, you know, Ed, I've heard you express this before. What is it that causes Jesus to be the best mediator we could possibly have?
Well, look, Christ is the Son of God, the literal Son of God.
Yes.
Who humbled himself, became flesh for us,
mm-hmm.
lived our life here, became a servant to serve others, to serve our need to receive forgiveness for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And he experienced everything we experienced. He was tempted in all ways like we were. He was made, according to Hebrews 2, in all ways like we were.
Let's just, for the sake of the listener, let's go there.
Yeah. You know, let me finish answering your question, though. So think about this. Jesus knows the language of heaven. He knows the character of God.
Because he was there with him.
Yes. He's the Son of God.
Right.
But he also knows the trials and experience of being a human on this earth. And so he can mediate for us. Mm. He can be our advocate. He can be our intercessor between us and God. So he can explain to his Father, because he's been here and has experienced what we experience, the difficulties we face. But he can also explain to us who his Father is and how he wants to help us and how much he loves us. So a mediator mediates both ways. It's not just one way. It's not just mediating us to God, but also God to us.
Yeah.
He can speak the language of heaven as well as our language.
It's an amazing thing, you know. I hope that the folks listening heard what you said, because that's so important. You know, what this tells me, and I don't know that we think about this, Jesus, the Son of God, has experienced something that the Father has never experienced.
Right.
And that is leaving the heavens and living as we are. And so this is why he is mediator. Because he can, like you just said, he can explain to the Father, this is how this feels.
Yeah.
And he can do it better than we can, because I don't always know what to say when I talk to God.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why we need a mediator.
Right.
And so it's just, God has given us all of the provisions that we need.
Mm-hmm.
For not just for eternity, but for today.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about.
And we're talking about a changed life today, a different way of living, because of what Christ is doing for us, not only in heaven, but God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts.
Yes, we read that last week.
Yes.
And I know we're going to read this again as we continue
our
studies.
Yeah.
So this is so important, friends, because what we're talking about, this is what we often, you'll hear us say it. It's called the gospel.
Yes, the good news.
The good news. And so God hasn't just created us and left us here.
Yes.
He's making a way that we can overcome. And he's also given us this hope, the future.
Yes.
And the hope of eternity with him. And so in order to be with him, I have to be changed.
Yes.
I can't stay the way that I am and live with God for eternity. So I need Christ in me to help change me.
Yes.
So we're going to sound this down in the coming weeks, aren't
we? Oh, yeah. It's going to be good, really good.
And
yeah.
this could take months of programs to go through this. And this is really beautiful. I hope you really hang in there and go through these studies with us, because I think you'll enjoy it if you listen.
So let's go to Hebrews 2 and see what Jesus experience was on this earth.
Sure, that would be great.
Let's read verses 9 through the end of the chapter.
Hebrews chapter 2.
Yeah, if you could read that, Mark.
Sure. And I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone."
Yes.
Doesn't leave anybody out, does it?
Right. Anybody who chooses to accept that gift.
Amen. Verse 10, "For it was fitting for him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same." So the he himself is Jesus.
Yes.
"That through death he might destroy him who has had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Keep going to the end of the chapter.
To the end of the chapter.
"For indeed he does not give aid to the angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted.
Right. This is so beautiful here.
It is.
Let me read Hebrews 2:18 in the Modern King James.
Okay.
It says, "For in that he himself has suffered, having been tempted, he is able to rescue those who are being tempted."
Rescue. That's what we need. We need rescuing, don't we?
You know, I want to go back to verse 10 of Hebrews 2.
Okay.
The Modern King James says, "For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to perfect the captain of their salvation through sufferings." Mm. This doesn't mean that Christ was a sinner, that Christ sinned. He was perfected by experiencing our experience on this earth in order to become the mediator,
yes,
our advocate, our intercessor, because he now has the same experience that we have, and that allows him to be an effective and efficient mediator and advocate for us before his Father.
Sure. In verse 11, it says, "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified." That means that we can be made holy,
yes,
by what Christ has done for us.
Yes.
That's hard to imagine, isn't it?
Right. I want to go to Hebrews 2:16 because the Modern King James says something a little different than the New King James.
Okay, what verse?
Verse 16.
Okay.
It says, "For truly he," talking about Christ, "did not take the nature of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham." He became flesh. He became like us.
That makes more sense to me. Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, I look through this text and I see some of these things. And when it says here in verse 14, I don't want to miss this because so many of us have been taught many different things about what happens to us, what happens to the world, what happens to the devil.
Yeah.
Notice what this says. "Inasmuch then," this is verse 14, "as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he," that's Jesus himself, "likewise shared in the same." So that means he came like us.
Right.
"That through death he might," it doesn't say let him live forever in hell.
Oh, yeah.
It says he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. This says the devil will be destroyed.
Yes.
Sin has to be done away.
That's part of doing away with sin.
That is.
Yeah.
That is.
So if I hear you correctly, this is not saying that there's going to be a devil in hell forever tormenting people.
You know, isn't that amazing? And we read this and we don't think about that, but that's what this is saying.
We don't see the words on the page, do we?
No, we don't. You know, the very first program that we did on Prophecies of Hope Bible Answers was about what happens when we die.
Yeah.
And that's what this is talking about.
Right. So as we look at these things in Hebrews 2, it turns us back to Romans 1:3, where it says, "Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made in the seed of David according to the flesh," tells us, it just tells us what it means. Jesus partook of our nature to experience what we experience. But yet in doing that, Hebrews 4 says that he was tested in all ways. He was tempted in all ways like we are, but yet without sin. So in spite of humbling himself and coming to this earth and made in the flesh, he still was able to overcome sin because of his faith in his Father.
That's it.
And performing the will of God in his life.
Amen. You know, Ed, this what you are showing here in these texts was something that all of my life I never knew until pretty recently, until we were studying together and we looked at these texts. And I realized, wow, look at what Jesus did because, you know, in my mind, I was taught something totally different about Jesus and his nature when he came to the earth. But when I look at this, I think, what a spectacular thing he did in relying on his Father and showing us it can be done if you rely on God.
Yes.
That's what he's showing us.
It's saying like Christ said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but your will be done."
Amen.
You know, I just saw something new today in Romans 1:4.
Okay, let's look at that.
I'm going to go ahead and read Romans 3 and 4 together. It says, "Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was marked out the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Christ being resurrected from the dead makes his claim of being the Son of God true. It is evidence that he is the Son of God.
That's right. That's so true. And, you know, so here he is, you know, he's the lineage of David. This was a promise that had been given thousands of years prior to this.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing. And you know, don't forget, friends, you know, we're still living in the Bible period. We're still living in this time. We're waiting for this Messiah to come back another time.
Yes.
And complete what has been started.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's scary for folks to hear that. I don't know if they understand the need that this world has for Christ to come again.
And I think it depends on where we are in our walk.
Yeah.
There was a time that I was afraid of the coming of Christ. And I think it was because of two things. Number one, I didn't really understand what he was going to do when he came back. And the other thing is that there are things in my life that I know if he comes back and I'm not ready, you know, I might not be going with him.
Right.
And this is something that I think every person needs to think about and think very seriously about it, because whether or not he comes in our lifetime, Ed, at some point our life will end.
Yes.
If he doesn't come in our lifetime.
Right.
And we need, our relationship has to be good.
There's no second chance. There's no changing camps. There's no changing our mind.
This is our second chance, isn't it? When God made the pronouncement that the seed would come, he was giving an opportunity for everyone to make a choice.
Let's just keep reading here, Romans 1.
Sure.
I mean, that's what you're talking about. Let me read 3 through 6 again.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, we know what that means now, who was marked out the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Christ being resurrected, in some places of the Bible it says by God, in other places by the Spirit of God.
Right.
Shows that he is the Son of God, by whom we receive grace and apostleship to obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called out ones of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Called out of the world.
Amen.
Called out of wickedness.
Out of darkness.
Out of darkness, right? Into the light, yes.
Yeah. The light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Yes.
So you see how all of these things go together. You know, Ed and I were speaking before we were on the air. We were speaking about how you can't just study one verse or a couple of verses. And why is that?
Because the whole Bible has information to add to whatever you're studying. It gives you better understanding. It gives you a broader concept of what's being talked about.
Absolutely. So,
and the Bible is the gospel.
Yes, it's the Word of God. It's
I believe Old Testament as well.
Yes, it's so true.
Remember, Jesus only quoted the Old Testament.
He did. I love that statement because it's so true. And so here we look at Romans. What a powerful testament this is to the Son of God. Also, I just wanted to mention, because as I was reading through it just a little bit ago, Paul's sentences are so long.
They are.
They're really long. And sometimes, you know, you think, wow, I've got to have a down inflection at some point. But if you notice, it just keeps on going and going.
Like, I got to take a breath, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just, I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
But wow, what an understanding he had of the gospel.
Right. Let's continue reading, if we can, verses 8 through 15 of Romans 1.
Okay. You want me to read
it?
Okay. Romans 1, beginning in verse 8, it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also.
So Paul is getting ready to preach the gospel, a gospel that he learned from a one-on-one with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we read about that a week or so ago.
You know, something interesting in Romans 1:10.
Okay.
That he makes mention of them always in his prayers.
That's so important.
Look at who's praying for who, though. Paul is praying for others. It's not people praying for Paul and his ministry. It's Paul praying for others.
Yeah.
The leader, one of the leaders of the church, is praying for the church. And those who do not yet know the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You know, there are people who were praying for me before they met me.
Yes.
Because somebody had said, hey, there's this guy, Mark, and he's trapped in this church that he grew up in, and we need to pray for him that he'll come to know the truth of God's word.
Let me ask you a question about that statement.
Sure.
You use the word trapped in the church.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I grew up in a very, very controlling church.
Uh-huh.
And number one, I was trapped because when you pull away from that church, what happens is your family has to cut you off and your friends have to cut you off.
Okay.
And also, you feel trapped because if you don't believe the church's interpretation of things,
and you're going to hell.
Yeah, then you're going to die. You're not going to get eternal life.
Right.
So, you know, think about that. You're trapped in a belief structure rather than having the freedom of Christ and studying the Bible and knowing what it says.
So what you're talking about is the difference by being controlled by somebody else's belief.
By men.
And understanding versus what the words on the page of the Bible actually say.
Yes. In other words, there is freedom in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
And when if I'm following a church, and I'm saying this, Ed, we say this all the time, don't follow prophecies of hope.
Right.
Don't follow Ed and Mark. Follow what Christ says.
Yeah.
And if any church or denomination or religious organization tells you, you must follow us, run away as fast as you can and follow Christ.
Our mission at Prophecies of Hope is to point people to Jesus Christ, the
Amen.
Son of God, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how we find that and point them to it is by reading the Bible and actually reading the works on the page, comparing scripture to scripture, and having each one begin their own personal relationship with God and His Son.
You know, what you're saying is so powerful because I've had a number of people say to me, wow, you know, when we do Bible studies, which we do every week, we do them every Wednesday,
right.
and we do it also on Sabbath morning.
Right.
When we do Bible studies, people say, wow, we read the Bible more than I've ever read it before.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that what Bible study is?
Or people hear a sermon and say, wow, you use a lot of text of the Bible. Well, what else are you supposed to use?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean,
that's where the information is.
Exactly. And the key is to bring these things that are in the Bible and let's make an application of it for me today.
Yes.
How can I benefit
from
what this is saying? And so there's so much that we get from this. And yes, I was trapped. I was trapped in a church. And you know what? When I got on my knees, you're talking about Paul praying for these people. When these folks were praying for me, we don't know what the outcome's going to be.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, those prayers worked for me.
Yeah.
They worked. I mean, I wouldn't be here today on the air with you, Ed, if it hadn't have been for those folks praying.
Right.
And so we see God working miracles. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pay attention to what He's doing in our lives.
Right. Yeah. I guess the second thing I want to bring out is what changed you was going to God's Word.
Amen. That was the key. when I'd see, remember, we've talked about Paul. We were just in Acts several weeks ago about the Bereans. Yes. Who were they? They were these people that studied the Bible.
Yeah, they didn't believe Paul just because he was Paul and preached to them. They checked him out through studying the scriptures daily to see if what he was saying was actually true.
So important.
Yes. Do the same with us.
Please. That we want you to do that. And when you come across things, you should say, wait a minute, hold on. You were teaching this, but the Bible says that. Send us an email, yes. Please. We want that because this is how we learn. When we as a group of brothers and sisters are sitting around a table having a Bible study and somebody says, I've never seen this verse before. Yeah. It has completely changed our understanding of other scriptures right. To where now we have more light.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that what we were teaching was absolutely wrong, but now we say, wow, look at how this opens up all of these other Bible verses.
Right?
Yeah. So prayer for other people, and this is something that, you know, we want to ask you to pray for this ministry.
Yes, please.
And pray that we can reach people. And we will pray that those who are tuning in can take the gospel, not the message of this ministry.
Right.
The message of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Take that to others. Live the life that you see Jesus living. Live the life that you see Paul living.
Right. You know, there's another thing in Romans 1:13 that kind of stood out to me. Paul wants to have some fruit among them. He wants to have some positive results. He wants to have others experience the same changed life that he's experiencing.
Absolutely. I mean, Ed, let me ask you, you are, by nature, you are an introvert.
Extremely so.
And when I first met you, I could tell. But wow, over the years, what has happened? All of a sudden, now here you are, you're teaching Sabbath school, you speak publicly, you're on the radio program, what happened?
You know, in order to share the Bible and share the gospel, you have to experience it yourself in order to really share it with others, to give people an understanding.
Yeah.
You may have words on the page that you quote to people, but if it hasn't made a difference in your life, you're not going to be able to explain it to others and to make an impact on them.
Mm.
And so it starts with a personal relationship with God and His Son. And, you know, it's something that is important to me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if God can use me in some little way to share it with others, that's what really makes the difference in my life, to be used by God. Even if I don't see it, that's fine.
Yeah. And you know what it does, Ed, is it takes the emphasis off of you. And it puts us on Christ.
Yeah. And you know what? It doesn't matter about being right or wrong anymore.
Absolutely.
It just matters to know what the Bible says.
Amen. Amen. And so the point is, I think nature, the natural way of myself is I worry about, did I say that right? Am I going to say it right? But you know, if we truly trust the Spirit of God to work in us, if I say something, I might not say it the way I want to say it. But God can cause people to hear it
yes.
the way they need to hear it.
Right.
And so this, again, it takes the emphasis off of me and puts it on Christ and His Father.
Yes.
And so now I don't worry so much. I want to choose my words carefully, of course, but I'm not as concerned about that as I used to be.
Right.
And you learn to think about, I don't worry about what people think of me, just like Paul. It didn't matter to him what those people thought.
Right.
He wanted to share Jesus with them because he knows the everlasting life is involved here. Lives
yes.
are at stake.
Yes.
And that's what brings you out of that being introverted into, I've got to say something.
Right.
I want people to know.
Right.
So you can see just between what the couple of these two people that are sitting here at these microphones, these subtle little changes that have happened in our lives. If you would have told me 20 years ago that we'd be doing this,
yeah.
I literally would have laughed at you. And you probably would have done the same.
Yeah, I'm not the type to get on the radio or TV or anything like that to
and
talk.
And what about Paul? Here he was, a man that was persecuting Christians. If somebody would have told him years prior, you're going to be a Christian one day.
Wow.
What do you think he would have said?
You're crazy.
Yeah, he would have said that.
Yeah.
He might have killed them
yeah.
for saying such a thing. So look at the change Jesus can make in your life.
Yes, exactly. Let me read verses 16 and 17 of Romans 1.
Okay.
This is the Modern King James version. Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Mm.
So Paul's saying exactly what we were just saying.
Yes.
He just says it in one sentence.
Yes. I guess we were having a long
sentence. We had run-on sentences. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I want to, just one thing I think we need to touch on here, because sometimes there's a common misconception among a lot of Christians today that the Jews today are God's chosen people. And so when it says here, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, what is this saying?
It says it's for everyone who believes.
Yes. So it's not, you know, God at one time had a nation that he was taking care of. But when they rejected the Son of God, he says, if you don't accept my Son, I can't accept you. But anyone, whether they're a Jew or not, if they accept Jesus Christ,
yes,
you have salvation.
Yes.
You have the Father's favor. And so also the reason why he was going to the Jewish nation first is because these were the people who were familiar with all of the things that God had laid out.
Right. And you're talking about their experience in the Old Testament.
Yes.
The sanctuary services, which all pointed to what Christ would come and do. The living color testimony of the gospel.
Amen. That's what it is. Yeah. And so, again, we see all of these things go together. And then Paul had a complete understanding. And the other thing is, you go to the Jew first. Back then, you went to the Jew first because they already had that foundational truth from the Old Testament, right? They knew these things. So it would be much easier for them to teach others, and the gospel could spread quicker.
Right.
But when they say, we don't want any part of that, well, now, okay, well, we have to spread the gospel by a different way.
Right. And that's the ministry that Jesus gave to Paul.
Amen.
If you remember, we read in Acts where Paul kind of had enough of the Jews rejecting the gospel. So he's washing his hands and saying, from now on, I'm going to the Gentiles.
Yes, that's right.
And that's what he's doing right here in Rome.
It's an amazing thing. What a ministry he had.
Now, can I share another text with
Please.
You?
Please.
It has to do with, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Okay.
I want to read verses 7 through 14. It's the Modern King James Version. Remember, we always compare Scripture to Scripture to
Amen.
Give us more understanding. In verse 7 it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Therefore you should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the eternal times.
Mm.
But it is now, having been manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has made death of no effect, bringing life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the nations. For this cause I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard my deposit unto that day. Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit given through the Holy Spirit indwelling in us."
Mm. Wow. That's amazing. You know, so this is Paul. This is the
yes.
same one that wrote Romans.
He's saying, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he's able to guard my deposit unto that day. He's talking about his life, unto the day of Christ's coming again.
Yeah, so he was writing this letter to a young man named Timothy
yes.
to give him encouragement. And, you know, this shows how, what's he doing? He's sharing his testimony with Timothy.
Yes, it's a personal thing.
It is. and how encouraging I feel when I read this. Can you imagine how the person who he knows he's addressing?
Right.
So that shows the power that you can have on those around you when you share your testimony with others.
Yes.
It can make all the difference in the world to that person. You know, we have about a minute and a half, Ed. Okay. Well, where do we want to go?
Well, I think as we travel through Romans, the book of Romans, mm-hmm. the gospel will come alive for us.
Yes, it will.
And you'll find us at certain times maybe only reading a few verses and going to the rest of the Bible to give us more clarification for what it says. But I hope you see the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You'll find that the gospel is almost in two parts. We know of Christ's death on the cross, but now we're going to learn about his life that he now wants to live in us to help us overcome sin in our lives.
So important. He lives, right?
He lives.
We talked about that
because
last week.
He lives.
Yes.
I can face tomorrow.
That's another hymn. It's a beautiful hymn.
Yes.
It really is. So, you know, that's the thing, friends. Get your Bible out. When we come together each week here at Prophecies of Hope Bible Answers, open your Bible and look these texts up with us.
Yes.
And we're going to, you can wear a Bible out pretty quick using it as much as we use it.
Yes.
And so don't be afraid to do that. Get it out. Mark it up. Write
down
notes.
Yes, write it.
Yeah.
Put notes for different scriptures that have the same thing. I cheat. I have a computer software version, so it's easy to do.
And that's another thing you can do. But, you know, we're out of time, Ed. We'll pick up here in Romans next week.
Yes.
Right? And, friends, we're going to close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sign off. So
yes.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for your word, how cohesive it is, how understandable it is when we just open it and read it. And Father, we just ask that your spirit will be with each one of us who are here and listening today, and we just pray your blessing upon us through this new week. Please guide and direct us, Father, until we come together again. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, it's good to be here.
Yes.
Friends, I want to thank you for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week right here on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday evening. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.